This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Crosby delayed and sets up Marner full stride into the zone. Mitch Marner scores! Mitch Marner! An overtime winner for Team Canada!
Welcome into Sabres Live. Mitchell Marner of the Toronto Maple Leafs gets a standing ovation in Montreal. And Team Canada squeezes by Team Sweden with a 4-3 overtime win last night, the first game of the Four Nations faceoff. Hey, everyone, I'm Marty Biron. Duffer is off today, so I'm riding solo for the first half of the show. We're going to get Darren Dreger at the bottom of the hour to talk a lot about World Cup of Hockey, Olympics, injuries that are happening at the Four Nations faceoff. We saw a big one yesterday with Shea Theodore going down for Team Canada and will not play for the rest of the tournament. So what does that mean, not only for Team Canada, the tournament, but for the Vegas Golden Knights moving forward? But there is a ton going on. I was following on social media last night during the game, especially late in the game, and I have seen so many reactions to Rasmus Dahlin, his game, and his usage in the game. Yeah, I want to talk about that because maybe that's the first thing we should talk about. And then after that, I'll go through the game. But I felt like Rasmus Dahlin looked really good early. Team Sweden did not show up at the start of the game. Victor Hedman looked like he was stuck in mud or in snow. He could not move. And Canada was flying. And you're looking at Dahlin, who was playing with Gus Forsling for a little bit there. You're like, okay, well, those two, maybe they can, you know, switch it up and give Sweden a little bit more puck possession and time. And I felt like Dahlin did that. Also, Dahlin was physical. He took down McDavid in the second period. There was a lot to, you know, that intensity that you wanted to see. Like, you weren't sure where Sweden was in this game. It was tentative at first, and Dahlin showed up and really had the intensity and kept it simple, right? I felt that's the most important thing here, is that you are playing on a really good team, and maybe you're not the leader of that team, as Dahlin is obviously not, doesn't have the same impact with Team Sweden as he would have with the Sabres. But I felt like Dahlin kept it simple and everything was good. And then all of a sudden Sweden comes back and all of a sudden they get a power play late in the third period in a tie game. And you're thinking, okay, well, we probably will get to see Rasmus Dahlin on the power play. No, it was Victor Hedman on the first power play. It was Erik Karlsson on the second power play. No Dahlin for a full 2 minutes on the power play. I don't understand that. I get Hedman's a really good hockey player. And I get that Carlson is probably on the team for that reason, the power play. But Hedman played almost 28 minutes in the game. Maybe you got to, you know, manage the minutes and give other players other roles. And Dahlin on the power play, for me, would have been a great role for him to be able to step into, especially late in the game. And then overtime. No Rasmus Dahlin in overtime. It was Gustav Forsling, Victor Hedman, and Matthias Ekholm got one shift. I'm thinking, isn't there a better player in the National? I know there's Kel McCarr and there's Quinn Hughes and there's a lot of good player, but on that team, Sweden, is there anybody better than Rasmus Dahlin on the back end, 3-on-3 overtime, to put you over the top? You're playing with house money here, Team Sweden. You took Canada to overtime. You were down 2-0 and 3-1. Team Canada has never lost in best-on-best competition. So we're talking about since the 98 Olympics. They've never lost in best-on-best competition. Olympics, World Cup, Four Nations, when they have a multi-goal lead. You took Canada to this. You stretch them all the way to the end. You're in overtime. Hedman has played over 27 minutes. Maybe you want to give him a break. Forsling has played 25 plus minutes. Maybe you want to give him a break. Put Dahlin out there. It's a long overtime, and we'll talk about that too. It's not just 5 minutes and you go to a shootout. It's 10 minutes. Now, Canada scored 6 minutes and change in, but what if you have to get energy for the 8th and 9th minute and the 10th minute of overtime? You may want Rasmus Dahlin to be able to come in and play a shift here and there. So anyway, I was disappointed. I felt like Sweden mishandled the usage in Rasmus Dahlin in this game. I think everybody here in Buffalo was looking and saying, this is the Dahlin that, you know, he played against Nashville, a great game. Like, that's what we were seeing. And he played 17 minutes and 15 seconds. 5th in ice time on the defense for Team Sweden. Jonas Brodin at 17-13. So, yeah, I mean, it's basically saying they didn't trust Dahlin in that situation. Or maybe the coach of Sweden really just felt like he needed to get his veteran guys, like the Hedman and the Carlson and the Ekholm, that type of chance, that he trusted them better. But I think this is going to change. I think this is going to change when Sweden and Finland play on Saturday. I think we probably will see more of Rasmus Dahlin. And then again, when Sweden and Team USA play next Monday in Boston, I think we're going to see more of Rasmus Dahlin. So that was my Rasmus Dahlin rant at the start of the show. I obviously did not love that we didn't see number 26 out there as much as we should have. That's it. I'll move on. Again, if you have any comments, you want to hit us up on X at Sabres Live at Marty Biron 43. Producer Jeff is going to kind of go through some of the response and comments and questions that you may have that I'll try to answer here, especially in the first half of the show and in the last segment, because obviously Darren Dreger is going to make his regular Thursday appearance here on Sabres Live. So, let's start from the top. The game last night, the expectations, everything that happened. We're going to go kind of in chronological order because I felt like the pregame set the tone. I was really, really excited when once I saw Teemu Selänne on the carpet, right? And the great Teemu Selänne, watching him, I remember back when he was with the Winnipeg Jets, but not only that, with Team Finland and, you know, the Finnish flash, like him stepping on the ice, I felt like that was a great start to a ceremony pregame. Mike Richter, 1996 World Cup champion. I remember Pat LaFontaine was on that team. I was at camp in 1996, my second camp, and we were watching the World Cup of Hockey, Canada, U.S., Cujo in one net for Team Canada, Mike Richter at the other end, Team USA beating Team Canada in that best of three finals. It was amazing. So Mike Richter on at center ice in the pregame. Daniel Alfredsson, obviously, not a lot of people here in Buffalo like Daniel Alfredsson with the rivalry between the Ottawa Senators and the Buffalo Sabres. I didn't like Daniel Alfredsson, but I respected him. And everything that he's done, right? 2006, Olympic gold medalist with Team Sweden. I remember that because Sundin was on the team and Henrik Lundqvist was on the team. So that was a fantastic win for Team Sweden. But you have Daniel Alfredsson on the ice. But last and not least, and the building got so energized, is when they announced and they said, "Welcome home, Mario Lemieux." Like, the building erupted, and Mario, in his very, very strong physical presence, he had that as a player. He has that as an owner, as a legend of the game. He stepped on the ice, and then Sidney Crosby. It was funny because the crowd was giving him the ovation. And at one point, like, Mario is looking over to Sid, like, "Come on over. Like, okay, let's go. Let's get this going on." But Mario, with the great welcome back home to Montreal before the tournament, obviously, we remember the Olympics in 2002 in Salt Lake when Mario let the puck go through his feet, right? And that great final, Team Canada winning the shot in the 87 Canada Cup. Right, Mario Gretzky, 3-on-1. You know, he comes in and gets a high glove shot that clinched Team Canada to win the 87 Canada Cup. Like, there was so much there. So Mario Lemieux, great ovation. It was a really, really solid pregame. I was into it. At that moment, I was watching. I was on the couch, and I was like, this is going to be a good game. Now, we didn't get the good start to the game for Team Sweden that maybe I was expecting. 44 seconds in, Willie Nylander takes a high-sticking penalty. It only took 12 seconds for that top power play for Team Canada to score a goal. And I talked about Team Canada's power play yesterday on the show. Basically, not only do you have five of the best personnel in the world, and Crosby, McDavid, MacKinnon, Reinhardt in the bumper, one of the best bumper power play performer, and Makar at the blue line, but they're all the right side shot. So Crosby is down low as a lefty. Reinhardt is a righty in the bumper. MacKinnon's a righty back door. Like, everybody is in the right spot. And when McDavid made the play down to Crosby, and Crosby turned around on the no-look backhand, threw the legs of Mattias Ekholm and got it to the back door to MacKinnon, wow, it was a buzzing start, and it was one of those where you're like, we expected the power play to be really good, but 12 seconds in, they made one play, and it was in the back of the net. So a little worried for Team Sweden at that time, and worried for Team Sweden throughout the whole first period because they weren't getting any shots on goal. Actually, there was three shots on goal that were taken off because it was that was going to miss the net. So they put one on the clock, you know, the shot clock, and then they take it off. And then they put one, they take it off. Like, Sweden did not have any offense, did not have any puck possession in the first 20 minutes. And I was worried. I was worried because I'm like, okay, if Sweden loses that badly to Team Canada, what is Finland going to look like? Because Finland, I feel, has the, you know, the lesser of all four rosters in this tournament. So I'm like, this is going to be a Canada-USA exhibition, right? They're going to win their games and they're going to play in the final, and, you know, it's going to basically be a Canada-USA thing. But no, Finland battled back. Finland battled back, I think, in two ways. One, they started to just chip the puck out and they didn't give Canada a lot of that transition game. And two, I felt like, well, Filip Gustavsson settled in. And when Filip Gustavsson settled in, the goalie for Team Sweden, it got better, right? Gustavsson in OT was great. MacKinnon, three chances. Gustavsson was great. Gustavsson made the save on Devontae's in the third period. I felt like Gustavsson settled in, allowed Team Sweden to get back in the game. But it was still 3-1 after two periods. Canada, you give them a 3-1 lead, usually you don't lose. Now, the start of the third period, great speed by Adrian Kempe. He comes down the middle of the ice, and he beats Binnington. And what a lot of people may say, got to make a save here, Benner. Like, this is not game 42 of the regular season, and you're like, okay, it's a goal, right? I mean, that's fine. No, this is you know, early in the third, you're up by two. Kempe comes down the middle. Did not like the gap on the defense by Team Canada. Drew Doughty was way, way back. Kempe comes in. He has a great shot. It's a good shot. Beats Bennington, kind of this blocker side. And now it's 3-2. And you can feel the energy switching. And I'm sitting there. And obviously, I played for Team Canada, the World Juniors. I played for Team Canada, the World Championship. I'm a supporter of Team Canada in those events. But I also like really good hockey. And when Sweden started to come back, I'm thinking, I want to see Sweden push now. I want to see, because I made a very lukewarm prediction yesterday on Sabres Live saying Sweden's going to win 3-1. But as Duffer pointed out, I wasn't really confident in that. But I thought if it's a low-scoring game, I think it favors Sweden. If it's a high-scoring game, it favors Canada. 4-3, I can't say it's a high-scoring game. It's kind of in the middle. But as Sweden got going, I was like, I want to see Sweden tie it up. I want to see this game maybe even go to overtime. And sure enough, on a very nice face-off win and face-off play, you have Jesper Bratt, who's been one of the best player on the New Jersey Devils this year with Jack Hughes. He finds Eriksson Ek on the back door. You know, this is a really nice play. And all of a sudden, you're like, Canada is scrambling. Canada at only 22 shots on goal halfway through the third period. Sweden was catching them, even though in the first period, it was all Team Canada. So I'm looking at the game, and I'm like, uh-oh. Like, what if Canada loses? What if Canada not only loses, but what if they lose in regulation? And then they have Saturday night against USA. What if they start the tournament 0-2 going into Boston on Monday to play Finland? And maybe they don't make it to the finals game. So for me, that was my thought is this could be trouble for Team Canada. And then late in the third period, you have Josh Morrissey taking a high stick penalty and Sweden goes on to the power play. And again, I'm thinking, well, Canada got their power play goal. Sweden will get their power play goal. It didn't happen. Dahlin wasn't on the ice. And I was disappointed. At that point, I was like, okay, well, now if Sweden's not going to put Dahlin on the ice for power play, I'm like, well, maybe they don't deserve it. Maybe they're mismanaging their assets here. I get it, Hedman, Carlson, but Dahlin had to be out there. It didn't happen. We move on. So the other thing that came out of this game was 3-on-3 overtime, but not for 5 minutes. For 10 minutes, the way that this tournament is set up, which is very weird because the NHL has been very, very strong in their beliefs that we don't want to go to 10-minute overtime. We want to stay at 5 minutes, 3-on-3, and go to a shootout. And they have their reasoning for it. The travel, the top players playing too much, you know, and usually 3-on-3 resolves itself. And then, well, if there's something, a shootout, we have a shootout. But they're, you know, a lot of people think there's too many shootouts that are deciding game. So wouldn't go to 10-minute overtime allow teams to potentially end it 3-on-3 and not have the shootout? And yesterday we had the perfect scenario. We go to OT. It's a 10-minute overtime period. And after 5 minutes, it's still tied. If it was an NHL regular season, we would have gone to a shootout. I don't think anybody wanted to see the first game of the Four Nations face-off in the show that everybody was getting in the third period in overtime be decided in the shootout. So because of the 10-minute overtime period, we got to see Crosby getting a third assist. He had 3 assists. Canada scored 4 goals. Crosby had 3 assists, was named player of the game. Marner, who I didn't think had a good game at all, he gets the game-winning goal. And now everybody's celebrating. Look at Marner. Look at Marner. Like, he's never scored a overtime goal in his playoff career. And the first game at the Four Nations faceoff, Marner comes in, gets a good shot on entry, and he beats Gustafsson to the blocker side. So I want 10-minute overtime in the National Hockey League, 3-on-3. And then if you don't have a winner after 10 minutes, well, we'll go to a shootout. But I think we're going to see much less shootouts if we go to 10-minute overtime. It's funny because Nathan MacKinnon was asked after the game, hey, did you like this 10-minute overtime? And he says, no, I'm exhausted. Well, obviously, Nathan MacKinnon was on the ice for, you know, 4 minutes of the 6 minutes of the overtime. He's going to be exhausted. And he played a ton. But I really think if you were to ask the other 600 players that are not in the Four Nations faceoff that got to watch the game last night, and you said, did you like that this was a 10-minute overtime? I think they'd all say yes. So the NHL has some homework to do here and look at potentially going to 10-minute overtime, 3-on-3. Right? A lot of those games will be decided in the first minute or two. But the rare chance that you would, you know, have this back and forth and you could potentially, you know, stretch it past the 5-minute mark and end it in the second 5 minutes, I think it'd be great. Now, MacKinnon said, I think 7 minutes would be the most he would want. I don't like 7 minutes. Like, if you're not going to go to 10, stay at 5. I think it becomes a little Mickey Mouse if you say, oh, we got a 7-minute overtime. I don't like that. But I think that it would be great for the NHL to go to 10-minute overtime and end more games 3-on-3 in overtime, even though 3-on-3 isn't real hockey. But I think it gives you a really, really good, fun ending to the game. Although I like the shootouts, but maybe people would like the shootouts more if there was 5 a year for one team as opposed to 10, right? If you cut the shootouts in half, maybe we're more excited about the shootout and we enjoy that part of the show when it happens. The other thing that this tournament is doing that the NHL have been refusing to do, and I think it's probably because it's a short tournament, that they're doing the 3-2-1 point system. So Canada wins yesterday in overtime. They only get 2 points. Sweden gets 1. There's 3 points given out in every game. You win in regulation, you get 3. You win in overtime or shootout, you get 2. You lose in overtime or shootout, you get 1. And if you lose in regulation, you get nothing. So now Sweden, with their comeback in the third period, put themselves in a position where they got a point. They're only 1 point back of Canada. And if Sweden on Saturday beats Finland in regulation, all of a sudden they're at 4. Canada, USA, Saturday night may mean that all of a sudden Canada is at 2 and in third place if they lose to USA. Because I would anticipate USA will win tonight. So that to me is interesting in the way that this tournament, because it's a short tournament, going to 3-2-1 point system and making that a focal point of this event. And it's not governed by anybody else but the NHL and the NHLPA. So they've obviously had that internal discussion, right? Like when you ask Gary Bettman, would you like to go to 3-2-1? No, we don't have an appetite to go 3-2-1. But you did it, or you're doing it in the Four Nations faceoff. So maybe this is a testing of what a 3-2-1 point system could be. And I know, you know, now we kind of have records, right? Like the Boston Bruins of 2 years ago with their 145 points or whatnot. It was a fantastic year. And if you have a 3-2-1 point system, you can't compare the teams that are getting 3 points for a regulation win to the teams that didn't. But we also have shootouts. We have 3-on-3 overtime. We have loser points. We used to have ties. We don't have ties anymore. I think everything evolves. And we can still take the...
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
The history part of the game and be able to realize that things change, right? We had the, you know, the original six, the 80s where the Edmonton Oilers, they changed rules because of the Oilers. Or maybe we're at that point now where we need to change some rules that may make it look weird or different for a little bit here, but I think eventually would be better for the game. So those are some of the points that I had written down on my sheet when I looked at the game last night. I'm very excited about tonight's game between Team USA and Team Finland. It is at 8 p.m. on ESPN. Yesterday was on TNT. Tonight is on ESPN. So I'll be glued to the TV for that one as well. And then Saturday, doubleheader, 1 p.m. and 8 p.m. So we have Sweden, Finland in the early game in Montreal, and then Canada, USA, Saturday night. So that is going to be a pretty big game for all to be enjoying. But before we get to Darren Dreger in a little bit and talk more about international hockey, World Cup, Olympics, and all of that, we got to remind you guys that on March the 7th, we will be hosting another fantastic Road Crew event in Fort Lauderdale with many, many Sabres alumni on hand. Fellow goaltender Don Edwards is going to be there, Danny Gare, Jerry Korab, Jim Lawrence, Randy Moeller, Rob Ray, Pierre Turgeon, Duffer will be there, Dan Levy will be there, our community relations team will be there, lots of prizes, lots of fun, chatter, autographs, everything. Great food, great drinks. It is going to be fun. Tickets are just $20. Go on sabres.com/roadcrew. Get your tickets. Go down to Florida. Enjoy the road crew. Maybe you enjoy the game the next day. Maybe you go to the beach while you wait for the game. But I'm just saying, it's a fantastic event. We did it in Tampa last year. We've been doing it every year. Don't miss that opportunity. Get your tickets. Sabres.com/roadcrew. And maybe we'll see you there. We will see Darren Dreger when we come back here on Sabres Live. We'll be back after this commercial.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back to Sabres Live here on MSG and WGR 550. And as always, on Thursday, we get TSN insider Darren Dreger. Dregs, how fun was watching that game last? And I'll say this. The first period and a half was kind of like, eh, like Sweden's not showing up. And then it turned up. So I think we all have that lasting impression, the OT, the third period. But I felt like it was a great show for the fans last night.
No, I'm with you. And typical of Montreal and the theater that they create inside that Bell Center, it started well in advance of the game, right? And what we saw from a viewing perspective was, you know, just the ceremony of all the great players, former players who were brought out onto the ice. I mean, the building literally erupted when Mario Lemieux was introduced. And we had Darren Pang, who worked with TNT last night on the Rand Dreg's podcast earlier today, and he admitted that there was some sleuth work around Mario, right? Like, there was some rumblings that Mario was there and he was going to be involved in some sort of process and pregame, but nobody really knew exactly what he was going to do. Mm-hmm. And then when you had the lineup of the former players coming out, you know, we saw Mike Richter, we saw Timo Solani, Sasha Barkov, all these players, but Mario was tucked away in the back, so you couldn't see him in the tunnel. And they played it out masterfully, beautifully. You know, so he comes out there and kaboom, the building just explodes. You know, I'm not one to liken players to other former greats, but when you have the level of presence that Mario has, that Wayne Gretzky has, the late, great Jean Beliveau, you know, I mean, they walk into a room and you're like, ooh, this is hockey royalty. And fans got a real good jump head start on that in the pregame. And then it carried into the hockey game. And you're right. I mean, it looked like it was going to be a little bit ugly and lopsided early. Nylander takes the high-sticking penalty. That vaunted Canadian power play, which we've spent a ton of time talking about here in Canada. Ooh, you know, can you imagine what Crosby, McDavid, and MacKinnon are going to look like? Well, we saw 10 seconds into the power play what they look like. But credit to the Swedes. You know, they fought back. They settled in after the first period and had a legit chance to win it. I mean, you know, the goaltending was fine. Aside from the Adrian Kempe goal on Bennington, I thought Bennington got better later in the third and then in overtime. But I mean, that game for the opener of any international event had the markings of not a classic, but just a real good appetizer. You know, I mean, a real good appetizer. Now, you know, look, with all due respect to what we might see tonight between the Americans and the Finns, I'm looking beyond that, and I'm looking at Saturday night.
Yes.
Come on, like Team USA versus Team Canada. I think that's going to be one for the ages. It's great to have international hockey back again. And even though it isn't best on best, it isn't. It's the best of what is available.
Yeah.
And anybody who questioned whether or not there'd be a high level of compete, physicality, any of that, I think we can put that to rest because we saw it last night, you know, how fiercely competitive each individual player is. We're going to see it again tonight. I mean, the Finns are not going to just hand that game over to Team USA. They're not. That'll be a gritty one. So I think we can, anybody questioning whether or not this is going to be an all-star weekend, it is not an all-star weekend. This matters.
No, it does matter. And I've said that, like, I went to the World Championship, and the people in North America don't even pay attention sometimes to the World Championship. But when I was there, I was like, this matters. I got the Canadian jersey on. Sure. Like, we're playing Sweden. We're playing USA. We're playing Czechia. It matters. And the rivalries and the intensity amplifies when you're on the ice. And so I think that everybody on Team Canada, Team Sweden, Team Finland, Team USA, they got there, and all of a sudden the intensity ramped up, right? It wasn't like, oh, no, it's just a Four Nations face-off. It was great. There was an injury, and I mentioned it in the first half hour. Shea Theodore got hit in the boards. He used his hands to kind of brace himself. He was seen like kind of putting something around his right forearm, I believe, and then left the ice in the second period. Reports were he got x-rays, and now he's week to week. We know that can happen. Mm-hmm. What's the general managers around the league feeling to have your best players there and potentially getting injured like Shea Theodore?
Well, and then expand that and look at the Vegas Golden Knights blue line, because Alex Pietrangelo had to dip out of the Four Nations face-off because he needed some further attention and, more importantly, rest through this Four Nations break. It's fair to question, okay, well, is he going to be good to go when they're ready to drop the puck in the resumption of the regular season? And I'm not sure of that. He was playing big minutes beforehand, but now you lose Shea Theodore week to week. And, you know, there are people around, and I think our good friend and colleague James Duthie took a bit of a swipe at the Vegas Golden Knights postgame last night and just said, oh, geez, imagine another player from the Vegas Golden Knights long-term injury. Well, okay, because it's happened before. Yes, I can understand that. But when you look at the players who were out long-term, namely Mark Stone with the Vegas Golden Knights, that is the heart and soul of the operation on the sidelines until he's ready to go. And I don't defend teams, but it dates back to Nikita Kucherov, of course, and the Tampa Bay Lightning. And, you know, he skated seemingly for weeks until he was ready to come back into play for the playoffs. But all of this is handled under the watchful eye of the National Hockey League. It's not like, you know, Vegas has the cheat code when it comes to injuring and duping everybody, you know, with the salary cap. But it does, and I don't want to bore anybody who's watching or listening, but I firmly believe, and this is based on sourcing, there is going to be some sort of cap attachment to the playoffs in the new collective bargaining agreement. I believe that. And I don't know how the mechanics of that are going to work, what the math looks like, but there's enough angst and consternation that is introduced by something like this. And we don't know. We know that Shea Theodore is week to week. But again, because of the pot shot at Kelly McCrimmon and the Vegas Golden Knights, I feel like I've got to kind of explain that process. But now to bring it back to Four Nations, Marty, as you know, it was surprising to me on social media. Lots of Canadian fans are like, ooh, well, they got to call Chris Tanev and get him in here right now. Or Mackenzie Weegar out of the West. No, the rosters were formalized and finalized Monday afternoon at 5 o'clock Eastern. So, hey, Sanheim, you're going right into Theodore's slot, I assume. I don't think they're going to tinker with the pairings too much.
Yeah.
Maybe you change the Morrissey-Parayko pairing. No way they're going to mess around with Cale Makar and Devon Taves, I don't think. So, you know, they're going to have to go with six for the rest of the tournament. That's just the reality of the situation. But just to wrap up on this thought, managers, coaches not involved, certainly owners, number of owners shared their concern with me. It's great that international hockey is back, but this is just a made up event to boost the international calendar, right? It's not the Olympics. It's not the World Cup of Hockey. Those are coming. It's just to whet the appetite again, you know, to remind us what it looks like again. And it was terrific last night, but owners especially are like, hey, I lose my number one goaltender. I lose my top defenseman. I lose my top center. And my Stanley Cup hopes are going to be questionable at best. And, you know, I don't know that that's how Vegas is feeling and losing Shea Theodore week to week, but that's the biggest fear for all hockey operations people not involved with the Four Nations coming into this event.
Yeah, so we know the Olympics next year, obviously, Italy, but that's in February. Like, you can't just have the Olympic tournament being moved. But I'm surprised that they've announced we're going to have a World Cup of hockey. Basically, it's going to be every 2 years. World Cup, 2 years later, Olympics, 2 years later, World Cup. I'm surprised they're going to do the World Cup of hockey in February because of that. Because if you get somebody that gets hurt in September.
Yeah.
You miss October, November, you're back. Like, you're back for the rest of the season. And but in the middle of February, that could be dicey. Are you surprised that the World Cup would be in February in 2028 and not in September, like we've seen World Cups in the past?
No, I'm not. And I really still feel strongly, Marty, that this would have been a push by the Players Association. The season is long enough, and players just don't want to give up more of their summer. They don't. Now, you could argue, as long as you manage what that camp looks like going into that World Cup of hockey in September, is it more onerous than it might be with a training camp and an NHL preseason? And, you know, you could take a bite out of your preseason, but it seemed to be a non-starter. And, you know, I can tell you, we've done a lot of reporting on this, on the World Cup and on the IOC, and the National Hockey League and the Players Association has basically just pushed the double IHF out of the way.
Yeah.
And I know the IHF, at least according to source, not very happy with the fact that the league, the Players Association, just rolled it out this week in Montreal. Mm-hmm. Here's what we're doing. We're going to have a minimum of 8 teams involved. Okay, well, wait a second now. There's 4 here: Canada, United States, Finland, Sweden. Now you're going to add 4. And the issue for the double IHF is that interrupts their schedules, right? Yeah. So they've got to shut down their seasons as well. And they're not real happy about that. At the end of the day, doesn't it always come down to money? You know, who's going to get a share of this and who wants a share of that? But my understanding is that the IIHF was adamant that they not hold the event in February. And the league, the Players Association, said, well, then there's no deal to negotiate with you guys. This is what we're doing. And the World Cup of Hockey is an NHL and an NHLPA event. We don't need you. So there's some European executives that aren't very happy today.
Yeah, and I get that with Team Canada, USA, Sweden, and Finland, you can have players that are in the NHL. And if you include Russia to that, you can have just players that are in the NHL. But I would think that Slovakia, Czechia, maybe Germany, like, you can't just field the team with NHL players. You need players that are playing in Europe to be able to participate. And if that is the 8 teams, you may have to butter the federations up a little bit to make sure that you have 8 teams, because it's great to have 4, but I think 6 or 8 would probably be the sweet spot when it comes to a World Cup of Hockey, to make it best on best, not just best available at that moment. So, Dregs, I think we're going to get it back to the Sabres here, because, you know, by the time we talk to you next week, you know, we'll be ready to play on Saturday and ready to get going again. Like, the world, this Four Nations will be over. So, anything happening with the Sabres and, you know, players to be watching, Dylan Cousins and Bo Byram, and now Noah Dobson is in the mix. Apparently the Islanders are shopping them. Like, there's a lot going on. So anything going on Sabres-wise that we should maybe be geared up for in the next week here?
No, nothing new, but it's not like all of what you've just said just disappears because the Four Nations face-off is underway. And I think that, you know, managers are doing their due diligence. They're continuing to have these calls and maybe have a little bit more time during the Four Nations, because they're not managing, you know, what's going on here, what's going on there from a hockey operations perspective. You know, they're basically looking and having the same conversations, I'm sure, with the same general managers that they've had, you know, over the past number of weeks. And in fact, the last few months, dating back to early in the regular season, when, you know, the rumors around the Buffalo Sabres first started to swirl. I honestly, Marty, I feel like a broken record. And I appreciate why we have to talk about it. Mm-hmm. But I do think that Kevin Adams is in the same position now that he was when all the speculation first started. And when you look at Buffalo and where Buffalo wants and needs to be, how can you close doors on any trade conversation? You can't.
No.
You can't. I mean, you have to stay open, because how do you know that there isn't a club that maybe isn't desperate today, but all of a sudden the owner calls and says to the general manager, you know what? We're on the outside of the playoff line right now. We need to be a playoff team. So I'm not worried about what you're doing 3 years from now in your first round draft pick, this prospect that's put, like, we need pieces that are going to lock down a playoff spot today. So get something done. That's all plausible. There's still plenty of time for that to happen between now and the 7th of March. And I'm in the camp that believes that it could be busy when the Four Nations face-off is over. So maybe that's where we'll start to see some of that desperation. But that's what it's going to need to be for Buffalo to move Dylan Cousins or Bo Byram. I think Buffalo's going to make some trades. I just, for them to move pieces like that out, especially Dylan Cousins, you're not messing around. You're getting exactly what you need to make that deal in return.
The way Bo Byram has played of late here, the fan base, anyway, the ones that were, you know, commenting on our post on X and everything, they want Bo Byram to stay. They say he's really good with Darlene. There's a lot there. Are you one that thinks that if he doesn't have a contract extension before the deadline, it'd be moved? Even though he's an RFA, could go to arbitration, we can punt it next year and say, yeah, 1 year deal in arbitration, we'll figure it out later. But it's still a pretty significant signing, yeah, right? So if he's not signed, or at least they don't have some preliminary numbers, do you think he moves at the deadline?
Well, again, it all depends on how much action there is. You need two teams to be bidding. That's all you need. And if you get a hard answer, and you're right, you will go through all those parameters, right? Like the agent, Kevin Epp, and Kevin Adams and the group in Buffalo, they'll go through, okay, what does a long-term deal look like? What does a shorter-term deal look like? You know, are you even willing to consider a longer term? You know, and or are you even considering a shorter term? All of that. And if the answer is a hard no, and there are players and agents, and I'm not saying Bo is one of them, but we've seen it in the past, recent past, where the agent tells the general manager, he's never signing. You know, you've got RFA rights. You know, you own the property right now. He's not signing. Well, if that's a message that you get from the Byram camp, then that's different. Then I think you're more active in generating that audience and making sure that you've got 2, 4, 8 teams that are interested in Bo Byram. And I don't think that'd be difficult to create that sort of a bidding war in him if you get to that place.
Yeah, I don't think that'd be difficult for Byram. I don't think it'd be difficult for Cousins either. I think there would be 15, 18 teams that would be interested in a center, right-handed shot, and all of that. Yeah. But maybe that's what the Sabres need to be able to do to kind of move forward with what is going on now on this team. Dregs, I appreciate you stepping up for a few more minutes today. That was great. You have a fantastic weekend, and can't wait for Saturday night, Team Canada, Team USA. I wonder if Brad Marchand will get cheered again in Montreal. Like, that was a weird one. Boston, Brad Marchand gets cheered. Yeah. A bit weird, anyway.
But I was happy for him because, you know what? It was surprising to me that Brad Marchand was one of the original six players named to the roster.
Yeah.
And then, you know, based on his play in Boston this year, he probably wouldn't have earned a spot. Certainly not ahead of Scheifele or Hyman or even Nick Suzuki. That goal meant a lot to Brad Marchand. It was a big goal for Canada, so good for him.
It was good for him, yes. Appreciate your time, as always.
Hey, guys.
And enjoy the weekend. We'll talk to you later. We'll be right back here on Sabres Live. One last segment on Thursday.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Welcome back. One quick last segment. Just a reminder that tomorrow, Josh Byrne of the Buffalo Bandits will be joining Duffer and I, Shayna Goldman, in our very usual spot on Friday, but it will be earlier. I think 12:10 we'll have Shayna on. Josh Byrne will be at 12:30. So we'll talk a little bit more about Team USA, Team Finland, some Bandits talk. Duffer will be back. It will be awesome. Tonight, Team USA, their goal song is Free Bird. Obviously, Leonard Skinner, you guys all have heard it throughout the World Juniors, but Team USA will have that as their goal song. Okay, I did ask on Sabres Live on X if you had any questions, comments, and John here asked, are there any Sabres or Sabres prospect who didn't make the Four Nations teams that could be on their Olympic rosters next year? That's a great question. I think that there is obviously some really strong candidates for their Olympic teams. Tage Thompson with Team USA. I would have had Tage Thompson on Team USA this year at the Four Nations face-off. He didn't make it. but I think Tage Thompson would be a strong candidate for next year. I look at Jiří Kulík with Team Czechia. I think that the way that Jiří's playing now, being in the NHL, I can see him on that. And then a wild card, who knows, maybe Devon Levi, depending on where he is after this season, next year, Team Canada, there's still a question mark in net moving on. So who knows? I don't anticipate it, but that could be that as well. Thank you for tuning in today on Sabres Live here on WGR 550 and MSG. We'll see you tomorrow, same time, same channels. Have a good Thursday.
But dude averages 18 yards after catch.
We get it. When you're passionate about something, you go all in. You live entirely in that world. That's exactly how Graybar is about renewable energy projects.
He's all fourth quarter, such a sleeper.
Join our league of clean energy at Graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Do you know about the true crimes that inspired a Bruce Springsteen album? Or the murders AC/DC was blamed for? How about Taylor Swift's violent stalkers? Or the suspicious deaths of Brittany Murphy and River Phoenix? These stories and more are told in the Disgraceland podcast, hosted by me, Jake Brennan, every Tuesday, where I dive deep into subjects from the dark side of music history and entertainment. So follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.